everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the Relationship Doctor, and I'm here with Chris Weigel, my co-host, where every weekend we are here and we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
Dr. Linda, I'm looking at the notes for today. It says to say Merry Christmas.
You can just do that out of the warmth of your heart.
Oh, okay. Well, Merry Christmas, Dr. Linda.
Merry Christmas to you.
You too.
And to all of you that are listening to us today. This is our last chance to greet you before the big day. Christmas is just a few days away, and if your family's like mine, Chris,
right,
the activity level can't get much higher.
No.
We're meeting friends, we're wrapping packages, we're baking goodies, caroling to our neighbors. Some of you may just now be getting your tree up. Those are those people who do that on Christmas Eve.
Right.
And they get their tree on Christmas Eve. I've never understood that. The bottom line is we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Christ on this very, very special holiday.
That's right. And Christmas is less than 1 week away. And when you mentioned the wrapping and the tree trimming and the caroling and all that, it makes me think of a lot of families have traditions that revolve around how they celebrate Jesus' birth. How about you, Dr. Linda? Any special traditions in your family?
Well, ours are pretty much all family related. We do go to church on Christmas Eve. That is one of our traditions. I've done that since I was a kid.
Right.
We read the Christmas story around the tree. So we do take time to do that, even though we all could probably recite it. Maybe we should do it as a drama one of these years.
Right.
Make it more interesting. But we do that. And then we open presents on Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow.
And then do stockings in the mornings. I know not everybody does that. Mm-hmm. And then we do our traditional Christmas dinner. How about you?
Well, if we were with my family.
Yes. The small family.
The smaller family,
from
right.
Past
not
weeks.
The crazy
not
in-law
the big,
family.
Not the big, huge
right.
family. Okay.
There's a thousand of them. It's a small get-together. And the thing that's the most memorable is on Christmas morning, Dad makes breakfast.
Oh, nice.
Now, it's the only time of the year that he turns
that?
The stove on. Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's not typically the cook.
That's great.
Because generally we make fun of him about something.
Well, if he doesn't cook normally, you kind of wonder what that's going to taste like. Traditions are fantastic. I like the tradition of baking cookies.
Cookies for Christmas.
Yeah.
Speaking of cookies, did you know that the tradition of the Christmas cookie can be traced back to medieval Europe?
Medieval Europe?
Yes.
Wow, that's going back quite a ways there.
During the 1500s, the Christmas cookie was popular all over Europe. And then the Dutch and the Germans brought it to the shores of North America. In the 1600s.
That must be why I love Christmas cookies, because I'm German-American.
Well, there we go.
We brought it.
You brought it over.
We brought it from medieval Europe.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for doing
Thank
that.
Thank you for that.
And do you send Christmas cards?
I do, and I'm really old school that way. I love getting cards in the mail. I know a lot of people do the social media.
Right.
They do it through that, or they send a card electronically, but I'm real old school about that.
Well, then here's more trivia for
you. Okay.
The tradition of sending Christmas cards began in the U.S. in the late 1840s. But the cards were expensive and most people couldn't afford them.
Isn't that wild?
I know.
I've heard that before, that it was really expensive to mail a card.
Right. Well, then in 1875, Louis Pring, a printer who was originally from Germany.
Germany, yeah.
He worked on early cards in the UK. Then he started mass producing cards so more people could afford to buy them. Mr. Pring's first card featured flowers and plants and children. And then here's a name you know. In 1915, John C. Hall and two of his brothers created Hallmark cards. Right. And they are, of course, still one of the biggest card makers today.
Well, since we're talking about traditions, I have a Christmas quiz for you. So you have to think about Christmas carols on this one. What traditional Christmas song was actually written for Thanksgiving? Christmas songs. Come on.
Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Don't
Close.
Know.
Close.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It's Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells.
Jingle
okay.
Bells was actually a Thanksgiving tune. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Okay. The modern tradition of the Christmas tree is widely believed to have developed in what country?
We'll have to say Germany.
You're right, Germany.
It was Germany?
Germany brought the cookie, the tree, and the cards. Yay, Germany.
You know the tune Old Tannenbaum?
Yes.
Just heard that performed in German.
And what that means in German?
Old Christmas tree. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Which Latin American country uses the same word for Christmas as Easter?
Latin American country. Oh, we'll say South America.
It's not a country. It's a continent.
That's a continent.
But you have a guess of which one. You're in the right area.
Yeah,
it is South America. It is South America.
Cuba.
It's not South America. Know your geography.
I told you I was not prepared for this quiz.
I know. So it's Chile. Instead of Feliz Navidad, which is what most people say, it's Pascua. Is that how you say it in Spanish? Pascua. I don't know. Is the word for Easter in Spanish. So they say that. It's the same for Easter as it is for Christmas. That's really trivia. Where is December 25th a national holiday, but not because it's Christmas Day?
Canada.
Any ideas?
Canada.
No. China.
Okay.
China. Originally, it was referred to as Confucius's birthday.
Oh, yeah?
But today, it means Christmas, but it's only celebrated by going shopping. From what country does the poinsettia, the traditional red flower, come from?
Denmark.
No, come on. Now, you think poinsettia. Does that sound like any language?
France.
Spanish.
Okay, it's
south of the border.
Mexico.
You got it. It originated in Mexico and Central America, where it is known as La Flor de Noche Buena, or Flower of the Holy Night.
Wow. Okay.
And it was acquired its American name after 1829, when it was brought over to the U.S. by Joel Poinsett, the first American ambassador to Mexico. Okay, Chris, I have one final question for you. This is kind of like Final Jeopardy. You can wager it all on this one.
Okay, it's all on this. Here we go.
If you can get this one. Where did the tradition of giving gifts begin?
I would think, if we go back to what we see as the original Christmas,
right,
it was the three wise men brought their gold, their frankincense, and their myrrh.
That is exactly right.
All right.
All right. Good Sunday school teaching there. Good Bible reading that lets you know that that is the true place where gift giving began, was when the wise men came to see the baby Jesus. That is a tradition that comes from the original story,
right,
one of the traditions that we keep.
I've not gotten gold, frankincense, and myrrh for Christmas.
Actually, Norm got that one time. Somebody gave him a little bit of one of those. It wasn't gold. It was one of the other spices. And he's got it upstairs. It's kind of a cool thing. Somebody thought about that as a Christmas gift one year.
Well, speaking of gifts, this program is titled The Best Gift. It's the Dr. Linda Mental Show. After the break, we want to talk to you about gift giving, especially the most important gift that you can give and receive. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Chris from the Dr. Linda Mental Radio Show. Dr. Linda's latest book is titled Living Beyond Pain. It gives practical tools to anyone who is living with chronic pain and wants to get his or her life back on track. Recently, Dr. Linda's listeners had questions about pain, and she answers those questions with tips from her book, Living Beyond Pain.
Hi, Chris and Dr. Linda. I'm asking this for a friend. When it comes to pain, she feels like her body has betrayed her, and that makes her very angry. Do you have any suggestions to help with that?
Anger is one of the reactions that people do have when they've been injured or something happens in their life that causes chronic pain. You know, it's a powerful emotion to feel anger, Chris.
Right.
A lot of times under anger, we feel very vulnerable. We feel very hurt, so we lash out in anger. When we don't like the way our life is going, when we think something could be unfair. A negative emotion, though, like anger, will really ramp up the feelings of pain. And that doesn't help you manage the pain at all. So if you hold on to anger and you stay in that angry state, you are going to make your pain worse.
So shaking your fist and saying, why me, is a bad approach.
You might have that at one moment. You might think that. But if you stay in that state of anger, you're creating a lot of bad things in your physical body. And those things are going to be factors in making your pain worse. Exactly.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Linda. If you would like a copy of Dr. Linda Mental's book, Living Beyond Pain, go to drlindamental.com. Or you can find Living Beyond Pain anywhere books are sold online.
Well, Merry Christmas, and welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about the best gift can give at Christmas.
That's right, Dr. Linda. Gift giving is a major focus of Christmas in our culture, but it isn't usually tied to the wise men, which I mentioned before the break.
Which you got right.
Part
let's
of the quiz.
Let's just put that out there that you got Final Jeopardy right.
That's right. So it's not typically tied to the wise men honoring the birth of Jesus. Instead, it's been completely commercialized. So much that we miss the real meaning of Christmas.
I would totally agree with that, Chris. I remember this old Christmas commercial.
Mm-hmm.
In the commercial, there was a woman and a man. They're running towards each other. But as they get closer and closer, their arms are stretched out for this wonderful embrace that they're going to get. And then all of a sudden, they bypass each other. And the woman's face drops.
Right.
And she cries. And she looks distressed. As she lifts up her head, a red sweater is hanging on a clothesline in front of her. And the tagline on the commercial was, "The man may leave you, but the sweater never will."
A Christmas commercial.
A Christmas commercial. So the idea is that something can bring you joy,
right,
even if it's only for a moment. But obviously more is needed for people to have continuous joy.
Right.
And there is one gift that lasts a lifetime and brings comfort and joy.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It's not the sweater.
Not that sweater, no.
But before we get to that, what was one of the best gifts that you ever received?
It was about a week ago, actually.
Oh.
Honestly, I marked it as possibly one of the coolest gifts I've ever gotten.
Wow.
There's someone that we know that a few of us went together and provided a cash gift for Christmas. It wasn't a lot, but it was enough,
yeah.
You know. And when she got the gift, she just fell apart and was crying on the shoulder of one of the people I was with. And she said, oh, this is fantastic. She got home and saw the amount and then called the person who spearheaded this effort and said, hey, you don't realize I don't have any food in the house.
Oh.
And there's some Christmas gifts that I wasn't able to get. But your gift allowed me to be able to do that.
Wow.
So that in and of itself was awesome. Well, then the next day, and we were so mad at her.
You were mad at her?
Well, she came and she had gotten us small gifts as a token of appreciation.
Oh, okay.
We said, you did not have to do that. That's not what this is about. But she felt so compelled by what we had done. And the gift I got was this small bottle of cologne.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, I think I'll never wear that cologne because I always want to keep it. It was a reminder of what we had done.
Now, that is a great story to be able to do something like that. As we get into the tips in a little bit,
mm-hmm.
that is a wonderful way to celebrate Christmas by giving to someone
right.
else in the way you did.
Well, you had a personal aha moment about gift giving,
mm-hmm.
and you've written a poem.
I did write
about it.
Now, mm-hmm. I'm not a poet, but I did have an inspiration to do this because I just had this moment where I went, what in the world is going on here?
Right.
So you want me to read it?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
Again, I'm not like this big poetic person, but it was kind of a nice moment for mm-hmm. me to think about what I was doing.
Right.
Here it goes. 'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house. Not a creature was stirring, but I felt like a louse. As I gazed at the packages all in a row, I was aghast. The tree looked bulimic due to my past. I slumped to the floor and I grabbed hold of my man. We have only 2 children. There's enough here for 10.
Wow.
We stared at the swollen piles of toys. Surely this is too much for 1 girl and 1 boy. Slowly we picked through the huge bulging pile. This one can wait for a little more while. 1 for next year, maybe 1 for a treat. Whittling the stack, our eyes again meet. We came to our senses. We lessened the gifts. Enough was still there. No one would get miffed. Next year, we pledged, we'll be different, you'll see. We'll keep it in balance while on Santa's knee. The season is known for its gifts-giving treats, but Christ was born to sin's great defeat. The baby asleep in that manger so small would bring peace and joy for all.
That's very nice. And to be honest with you, I was able to track with that poem, and it's something that we've tried to do as well. Look at Christmas and say, it's not about this huge pile of gifts under the tree. This is crazy. And we've been through the same thing.
Did you see that thing on, I think it was on Facebook, where a mother posted pictures of all the gifts she had given her children? The gifts were way above the tree, and there were so many of it. And apparently, she got really nasty comments from people saying she's spoiling her children, she's coddling them and all. But you know, that is the extreme
right.
of what can happen. But what happened with my husband and I is we sat down and we looked at that one time and we thought, why are we doing so much? We really got caught up in the culture and the, what we talked about, the commercialization of Christmas.
Right.
Not recognizing that the real gift here is the gift of Jesus to
right.
us as Jesus Christ, that he came to the earth, and we were focusing too much on all the other stuff.
That's right. Well, this is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. The program today is titled The Best Gift. Let's throw out some ideas, Dr. Linda, to help our listeners bring the focus back to Jesus. Some of these ideas can still be included in this week's activities, and a few will have to be on our to-do list for next year.
That is a great idea, Chris, that we can bring the focus back on Jesus. We really want to think, how can we get away from that commercialization of
mm-hmm.
Christmas? The one thing that I would say right at the top is the very thing that you told the story about, that you guys did, which is to do something charitable. I always try to invite somebody for Christmas dinner who doesn't have any place to go. And in fact, this year we're not going to be with our family during Christmas. So we are inviting people who don't have any family around
wow.
to come and join us for Christmas. And I know a family that is not coming to our celebration because they're going to be working at the Salvation Army during Christmas dinner. That's what
right.
they decided to do. They decided to serve in the Salvation Army during the Christmas dinner and give to those people.
This idea of bringing someone into your home on Christmas, is it awkward? How do you get around
well,
that?
Well, I think the issue here is that these aren't just complete strangers for us.
Okay.
So there are people that we know.
Right.
But we know that they're living away from family. Mm-hmm. They don't have anybody around. So we thought, they don't have anybody to celebrate with. We should get together. I think that's good. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this, but there's something called a Yule log party. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
It's an old European custom. And in that custom, you're supposed to bring an enormous log on Christmas Eve. Now, I'm not suggesting people do that. Our fireplace is not real, so don't bring a log. But what would happen is the master of the house would place it on the hearth, and then he would say prayers. So we had this one year, a Yule log cake made by somebody, and then eggnog is also served. And you can sing carols, and you can read scriptures, and you can tell stories, pray for the new year, and just have a great time of fellowship. There is on the internet, you can go to non-alcoholic eggnog and Yule log cakes. Mm-hmm. If you look in the internet, you can find recipes for both of those. So I like that. And then the other thing I like with kids is to make Christ-centered ornaments. I was walking past the nursery section in our church. It just so happens that Chris and I do go to the same church. I saw the cutest little decorations. They were on this little string, and they were baby Jesus in the manger.
Oh, wow.
And the kids had put him in the manger and done these little decorations. And I'm sure while they were making that, that that was a great way to talk about what the purpose of the holiday is. I know it's a little late for the Advent calendar, but I'm really a big fan of doing Advent at the holidays. I think it's great for a family. We have just a wreath, and we have the five candles for Advent. If you can light a candle every Sunday, and then you light the last one on Christmas Day, and you can talk about what each of the candles mean and what we're celebrating and why we're celebrating, it's a great lead-up. Usually it starts that last Sunday, sometimes in November. So it really gives you a focus on Christ for a number of weeks. So I love that tradition.
And we had talked earlier about sending Christmas cards. What about sending cards with the correct message?
Yeah, I look for those specifically. I look for something that has a scripture or something that has a religious theme, because it's just another way to focus people on the holiday. And then I think if you have some time, the kids are home from school, you got college kids home or whatever you're doing, clean out your old toys and unused good and make a donation to someone. Do a nativity scavenger hunt in your house if you want to do something fun. Maybe get your neighbors together and go caroling. I've done that several years. We have a hot cocoa and we go out into the neighborhood and do that. Or make sure that this holiday season you attend some kind of a Christmas cantata or an event at your church. And then certainly, as I mentioned before, as one of our traditions, read the Christmas story during this time.
We hang a nail on the Christmas tree up against the trunk.
Oh.
And it brings in the idea of Jesus on the cross.
That's great.
I should read that to you sometime. It's
very interesting. Yeah, that's really great. Okay,
it's an interesting tradition. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to talk about why Christmas time is a time when everyone seems to be more open to learning about the Lord. It's the Dr. Linda Mitchell Show. We'll be right back.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But... a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold. Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
So you don't tweet and you don't post? No problem. Check out the Relationship Doctor, Dr. Linda Mental, on MyFaithRadio.com.
Well, Merry Christmas and welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about Christmas and we're talking about the best gift. We want to make sure that we tell people that we don't believe that it's wrong to give gifts.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, I don't want to give that impression by any means because it's wonderful to be giving to other people.
If you have the means to give someone a truckload of gifts for Christmas, I would say as long as it doesn't detract from what Christmas is all about.
Right.
Then have at it.
Yeah, I think the issue here is that you don't want to get so wrapped up, no pun intended, into the gift giving that you forget what the meaning of Christmas is. We want you to bless people. We want you to be able to bring gifts to people. And we already established from our biblical Jeopardy there that the wise men brought gifts.
That was modeled from day one.
Right. Gift giving is great. And a lot of the traditions are wonderful to engage in. We're not saying don't talk about Santa or any of these other things. We're just saying that we really want to make sure that we focus on Christ and that he doesn't get lost because he is the star of this holiday.
Right.
And so we want to make sure that we're honoring him in this time. I wanted to talk about a Lifeway research study that was done in 2008. Mm-hmm. They did this study for the North American Mission Board. That study showed there are five times of life when American adults are open for considering matters of faith. And Christmas tops the list.
Right.
So I don't know what the other ones were because I didn't study that, but I was looking at the Christmas part of this. And so there are only five times of life. That's pretty significant then when you're thinking about this, that Christmas is one of those times. In fact, 47% of respondents in their survey indicated a great openness during the time of Yuletide cheer.
My 8-year-old daughter came back from shopping. She was in the stores with my wife, and when she came back, she said, I heard such and such Christmas carols in the store. And she said, do they always play songs about Jesus?
Wow.
I said, no, they don't, but Christmas is a very unique time. And it speaks to exactly what you're saying. People are willing to hear about it.
They're a little bit more open, and they're seeing the manger scenes that are sometimes in people's yards, and they're starting to think about the real tradition of the nativity scene, and does make people focus a little bit more on God.
Let's take the tune, O Holy Night, as an example.
Right.
This is the night of our dear Savior's birth. At Christmas time, it rolls right off the tongue. No one thinks a thing of it. If you heard that same message in the department store in the middle of the summer, it would make people say, hey, wait, why are they singing about God?
Yeah, to that point, the other night on The Voice, which is a popular show that a lot of people watch, they were having them sing Christmas carols. And one of the people on The Voice sang, O Holy Night.
Wow.
And I thought the same thing. Here's a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. The actual person who won sang, Mary, Did You Know? It was so interesting because his coach, Adam Levine, said, wow, I had never heard that Christmas carol before. If you know the words to that song and the way Jordan, I don't remember what his last name is, sang it, it was absolutely spectacular and it was moving. And you could tell that there was an anointing on him and that the Holy Spirit was moving through that song. So there are moments in Christmas where people are much more open to the message of Jesus.
And since folks are open this time of year, one of the best ways to share Christ is through personal relationships.
I think personal relationship is the way to go. And so some of the ways that you can do that without just preaching at people, if you invite people to your house, even people who aren't believers, unbelievers will come for a Christmas dinner. Even in our neighborhood, not the neighborhood we're currently in, but one that we used to live in, we had people that loved our caroling. We would go Christmas caroling, and the words are very much focused on Jesus, and they would join us. And one time I was talking to one of the neighbors, and I said, so you don't believe it? The man said, you know what? The music is just so beautiful, and I love to sing. I am listening to some of the words that I'm singing. It is interesting. Is what he said. But we had a little bit of a conversation about that. This is a time where you could invite people over and maybe have a little Christmas party and simply let them enjoy what you're doing. And I think the most important thing during this time of year is to demonstrate the love of Christ. And, you know, we had that show that we did on dealing with difficult families at Christmas time. And one of the best ways that you can show the love of Christ is by having a lot of grace and mercy for that difficult person in your family. So do you think that is something that both of us are going to be working on this year?
Yeah, we'll have a lot of practice.
And I would encourage you, if you missed that show, go back and listen to that show on grace and forgiveness and how to love people at the time of Christmas. Because when you look at 1 Corinthians 13 and you start to think about what that scripture says, that love is patient, that love is kind, it doesn't keep a record, that it bears all, and Jesus is love. God so loved the world that he gave. If we can show that love and that grace and that forgiveness to the difficult people in our lives, that's a really important way to show Jesus, more so than handing them a track or sending them to church, although I'm not saying you shouldn't do either of those. I think one of the other things, Chris, is that we should pray for opportunities to share with people, to really talk about how we think of Christmas. I never know what to do. I don't know what you do about this, but I was at a store the other day in a mall, and when the lady handed me my bag, she goes, "Happy Holidays." And everything in me wanted to go, "And Merry Christmas."
Merry Christmas, yeah.
But I didn't know if that would be viewed as antagonizing or if I should just be true to who I am and go, "Merry Christmas." What would you have done?
In this day and age, since it has been brought up so much, I can see how saying, "Oh no, Merry Christmas," could be antagonistic. But the way you voiced it a second ago, you said, "Hey, and Merry Christmas to you."
Yeah.
I suppose if it's done in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
It comes
not,
off okay.
Not angrily, like, well, Merry Christmas is what I'm going to say. I think that's part of being genuine and not being afraid to be who we are. Mm-hmm. I'm worried that in our culture that we're beginning to be afraid. I mentioned that school that took out the part where, I don't know if it's, is it Linus?
I think it is Linus that gives the gospel as clear as day.
He says, "Behold this day in the city of David." Mm-hmm. And the school took it out because they were afraid what people would think. And I don't want us to be afraid of any of that.
Right.
As we begin to celebrate this holiday, we know that because of who Jesus is, that this is the best gift that you could ever give yourself or that you could give someone else. And there's no better time than even right now, if you're listening to this, to bow your head and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Then what you need to do is find a church, and you'll love going into a church this time of year because they're beautifully decorated. And let the people in that church help you live out the Christmas faith. Your life will be changed forever in such a wonderful way. And best of all, you have the hope of one day seeing Jesus and those who love him as well. Jesus is the best gift any of us can ever get. He is why we celebrate Christmas. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our man on the street, Derek Battle, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, and a thanks, of course, to you, Chris, my co-host who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we are here doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Merry Christmas. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.